This is the Wirth Report.
We are here to announce a significant law enforcement action regarding North Carolina's Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, also known as House Bill 2. Today, we are filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against the state of North Carolina, Governor Pat McCrory, the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, and the University of North Carolina. But this action is about a great deal more than bathrooms. This is about the dignity and the respect that we accord our fellow citizens and the laws that we as a people and as a country have enacted to protect them, indeed to protect all of us. And it's about the founding ideals that have led this country, haltingly but inexorably, in the direction of fairness, inclusion, and equality for all Americans.
Now, here are your hosts of the Wirth Report, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday. Welcome to the Wirth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's the Wirth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of the Wirth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, we're here again this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. This week was pretty interesting, Nick. I'll tell you, I had my in-laws in town, had a whole lot of fun. I felt like I added a lot to the Charlotte community. Man, I had them everywhere, which means we spent a lot of money, but we definitely had a good time. We definitely enjoyed ourselves. My wife was happy, so that's really all that matters.
Well, that is all that matters. In fact, I actually celebrated, my wife and I, our 36 years of marriage.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
Can you imagine that? Almost 4 decades she has tolerated me.
Oh, man. Right. Oh, woo.
I know. That in and of itself is a serious milestone for the ages, you know? Oh. And we had a great time, you know? It's just really a special place that we're in right now. It's really exciting. And, you know, this Facebook thing is interesting. You know, we posted some pictures of our wedding, you know, on Facebook, and we got probably close to 200 messages, very kind messages. You know, for a while I thought, my God, are they talking about us? Yeah. It was so exciting.
That's great. Well, with you, I'm certainly not surprised. I mean, you know, everybody knows you guys, so
definitely
thinks the world of you. So,
well,
but happy to hear that, and congratulations again.
Yes, thank you so much, and I hope my bride is listening.
Yep.
So today, you know, we're talking about relationships, but in a different way, aren't we? Today, we're going to discuss this the impact, the financial impact of the HB2 bill on our, I'd like to say, fair city, but that bill. And how the state has reacted to it, and how corporations and businesses and certainly the NBA, their reaction to the governor's decision around that has really been devastating. How's it going to affect us, Glenn?
Well, you know, this one, Nick, I'll tell you, I'm certainly going to keep, you know, my personal thoughts out of this one.
Sure.
People listen to this show, not for necessarily to hear that, but financial news. So we're certainly going to keep it on an economic basis.
Sure.
And if you look at from a money perspective, it certainly hurt the city of Charlotte. I mean, there's no question. The media is everywhere. The Charlotte Observer on TV, everyone's talking about the $100 million that we missed out on.
Yeah.
And it affects people. Mm-hmm. You think about, you know, when you have the CIAA tournament here, and I remember we used to live in Uptown, and all the vendors will come out and make money and sell cakes and pies and all of those things. People are working inside the arena. People are working outside the arena. People are shopping, spending money all over the city. Neiman Marcus and all these other stores have special events for the people in the CIAA, and certainly would have something special for the people of All-Star Weekend.
Sure.
So it just adds so much money to our economy that's not going to be there.
Right.
And this money could actually be used to take somebody over the hump, because you don't typically put something like this in a budget, because it doesn't happen very often.
Well, you know, Glenn, you hit it right out the park there. You know, this North Carolina House Bill 2, you know, widely considered the anti-LGBT law, which revokes local non-discrimination protections, is undoubtedly going to impact the LGBT community in particular.
Yeah.
But there are some estimates that suggest over the long haul, almost $5 billion in revenue and resources will be lost. It's hard to imagine that, but when you it's almost like pulling a string. There's all these tributary issues connected to it. There's other sporting events that have national appeal. We know that there are companies, PayPal, and some companies have decided not to come here. We know that there are a number of conferences that have been shifted. There have been concerts that are suggested going somewhere else. So here you think about it. You know, South Carolina, you know, just pulled down that Confederate flag.
That's right.
And now they're being reintroduced into the sort of moral universe. Mm-hmm. They're going to be applying for, you know, NCAA, you know, games and all of that. And I can almost, you know, envision this really affecting sports, you know, large sporting events across the state. And ironically, you can imagine those sporting events will be going to South Carolina.
I know.
As other industries are. Hard to imagine. What do you think about that? What an impact.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I got an email from a friend of mine who lives in Holland, in Amsterdam. He actually listens to the show every week.
Oh, wow.
So,
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, so we have, and then we got people from all over the country who actually listen to the show. So for those who don't know, South Carolina borders the city of Charlotte. So Charlotte is right on the border. So South Carolina typically goes to battle, a tax battle, in order to get businesses out of Charlotte Metro anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the same thing. Because that flag is gone, so many more businesses are looking to move there because they can move to Fort Mill and the suburbs of Charlotte and South Carolina, help the tax base and revenue of South Carolina, but still get the benefits of the metropolitan area of Charlotte.
Right.
So that's really what we're looking at. Charlotte isn't an isolated city in the middle of the state. So because of that, we do have to think a little smarter. Unfortunately, you know, Raleigh,
yes,
where everything is really dictated and legislated,
yes,
doesn't have those same issues that Charlotte would have because they're not right on the border like Charlotte.
That's true.
You know, so because of that, Charlotte can certainly be hurt, not just from the fact of all the companies like what you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
like PayPal, who aren't bringing jobs here into our community, but also because now you may have other business owners who may say, you know, I don't like this law. We're definitely going to move elsewhere. First off, this certainly sets a precedent on really how you feel. It was certainly a slap, I would say, to the LGBT community.
Sure.
So imagine if you have, from a financial perspective, if you have employees who are part of the LGBT community, then they may not, and they understand that you feel and you are in agreement with this particular law.
Right.
They might not feel as comfortable. Therefore, they may might not be as loyal to you,
yeah,
as an employer.
Mm-hmm.
The average cost to replace an employee is $8,600 in North Carolina.
Wow.
To replace an employee. So what if you have great employees who shift and go somewhere else? They may actually accept that job right across the border. That's going to cost that business owner potentially a tremendous amount of money. So all of this that's being done, you hear the term $5 billion, you hear,
yes,
$100 million,
yes,
you know, to most of us that look at this, you say, well, how is that going to affect me? But it all trickles down, not mm-hmm just to the person who's selling the popcorn who can't do that, but also for that business
mm-hmm
owner
mm-hmm
who may stand up for what he or she believes in, but now has some consequences that he may have to deal with.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I just came back from the National Urban League Conference in Baltimore, and you know, quite frankly, a number of my colleagues across the country were commenting, and this is not unusual, I've been commenting on how North Carolina decided to respond to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, ACLU has also cited other states like Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia who've also, you know, had similar laws, but none as extreme as North Carolina. And, you know, when you just think about this for a minute, as you just described, certainly there's a moral issue here, obviously, depending on how you land on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the economics of it all is just sweeping. And I'm not certain how this story sort of ends. You know, some of us were talking about the NFL Super Bowl coming here. And you know what? I'm not sure that's really going to happen.
No.
And not to mention the fact that we heard from the leadership of the Charlotte Hornets that and was it 2017, 18, that we're going to be considered again, I guess, for the All-Star game?
2019.
Okay, so not certain what's going to be different then.
Well, we'll have a new governor, more than likely.
Okay, okay.
According to the polls as of today. So, and
there is that, I suppose. Yeah,
so we'll definitely have to see what happens there. And if so, I think the NBA and everyone else is looking for this law to possibly change.
Yeah, and you know, the other element of the law, certainly the issue concerning the bathrooms is certainly an issue, but the other factor around you know, denying individuals to take employment and other discrimination suits to state court and require them to go to federal court, as we would say, put a little something-something on the end to sort of make the point, you know, even more decisively what legislators think of this community. And that has direct financial impact.
Oh, absolutely.
At the personal, individual level.
Absolutely.
If you can't get recourse when you've been discriminated because you're not seen as a protected group. That's why, tough.
You know, that's why you tell everyone, certainly it's important to vote so you can vote for what you believe in either way.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, whatever way you believe in, because every decision, that's what we talk about on the show, every decision has a financial ramification.
Right.
Whether if you go to the store, depends on what store you go to, one could cost more than the other one. What area you live in, that's a cost there. But if I decide to go outside and just sit outside for 5 minutes, there's a cost to that.
Right.
So it's also important to make sure that you save and invest, but how you vote can also dictate how and where you're able to do that. So right now, you know, I watch CNN and you see all that stuff going on. They're talking about the presidential election, but how we vote for our state senators and our governor and our mayor and all of these things matter. And so people think their votes don't matter, don't count. They certainly do. And this is a one important reason to see quickly how it can definitely affect the overall economy and can affect your personal wallet.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because I know that obviously public opinion on these matters really, really matters. I know in 2012, you know, there was a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage passed with more than 60%, you know, of the vote. You know, and in June 2015 poll from the public policy polling in Raleigh showed that 44% of the state residents supported same-sex marriage, with 46% opposed. Now, last April, an Elon University poll found that 63% of the state's registered voters disagreed with the state's magistrate law. The same poll showed that 51% of Republicans supported the business's right to deny service to customers based on religious objections. So, you know, it's complicated, and I think that as hopefully attitudes will grow and shift, for no other reason, trying to develop the economic engine that this state really needs to stay competitive with the rest of the nation.
I'm looking at an article from the Williams Institute from UCLA, and in their study, from their poll, over 60% of North Carolina voters feel that HB2 has already hurt not just them economically, but hurt the image compared to the rest of the U.S. So Charlotte's booming. People have been moving in. But, you know, if you have a bad image, that changes that thought. Because not just the employer, but the employees. We got to make sure that we can bring in and retain the best of the best. And if you have a poor image, then maybe I'll move to San Francisco. Maybe I'll go to New York. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And now we have a less talented workforce.
And we cannot afford that.
No.
This is the slowest recovery that we've seen in a long time. What are we talking about? 1%? Growth.
Yep.
And so that won't help.
No, not at all.
That won't help at all.
Not at all. And especially when you look at, if we don't have growing enterprise, then we look back and we always talk about the mobility study in Charlotte.
Yeah, how about that?
How far down we're going.
Right.
So what happens to the people who do become educated or receive a trade and then the jobs aren't there for them?
That's right. You raise a really important point around it and its impact, further impacting issues of socioeconomic mobility, because it's a sort of a multi-pronged sort of impact on the LGBT community. You know, not only is it job discrimination, obviously, but also a veritable disenfranchisement. And that, you know, we just can't have in America, really.
Right. I agree. Looking at this really makes me think quite a bit about how Charlotte is booming. It's growing. The cost of living is increasing, and it's making me think, how is this really going to affect financially the citizens of Charlotte living in this community? What's changing, and what's to come? What is this going to look like, not just today, but in the next couple of years?
Yeah, you make a great point, Glenn. So let's come back to that after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Worth Report.
You're listening to The Worth Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright, giving you financial news you can use.
I've just never been fluent in finances. Let's face it, I can make money and I'm really good at spending money. But beyond that, not so much. But that's where Worth Financial, Glenn Wright, and his team come in. You see, when it comes to financial literacy, they're like translators. They've helped me understand my finances and how I can make my finances work for me now, tomorrow, and well into the future. And they can do the same for you. In fact, I'd encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call Worth Financial. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or simply visit worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking a new language.
Financial news you can use. This is The Worth Report. Now, back to your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Welcome back to The Worth Report. Glenn, we were talking about this HB2 bill and the amazing impact it has had on the state and people's lives. You were going to comment, though, on cost of living. Say more about that.
Well, Nick, you're right. We're talking about this great ordeal, and it's causing so much concern, and it's a negative attention to the state. But this is something we definitely want to talk about. I know it's a big, heavy issue that people are talking about. So, you know, we're not scared to talk about anything on this show.
That's correct.
So we definitely want to make sure we make light of it, but also talk about how it affects the people here, especially in Charlotte. So as you look at this from a macro perspective, you see the $100 million, the $5 billion that we're losing and so forth, $285 million over the next couple of years, and events alone that are no longer coming to the Charlotte area. How does that affect you? Well, when you compound that to the fact of now the economy is moving forward, housing is going up and becoming more and more expensive, medical costs are becoming more and more expensive. That for that fact, a gallon of milk is becoming more and more expensive every 2 weeks. You know, it's crazy.
Right.
So when you take away job opportunities, when you take away new businesses coming in, now you are, in essence, freezing, in many instances, salaries and incomes. But everything around mm-hmm. you is continuing to go up.
Right.
So what do you do about that? One is, that's a time when you look at opportunities like this that don't present themselves,
mm-hmm.
right now might not be the time, if you're looking at your personal finances, to say, hey, I'm going to go from this $100,000 home
right.
to the $250,000 right. home.
Well, you make such a great point. According to financial planning, you know, this study found that millennials and Generation X's are make up a significant larger portion of the LGBT community compared to the population as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And according to this study, 6 in 10 LGBT respondents in those generations do not know what, when, and where to buy and sell and to engage in financial planning, partly because their advisors, there's some apprehension about a socially conscious financial planner. That's got to be yet another impact.
Oh, there's no question. You know, like the song goes, you know, who can you turn to?
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's right.
And if it's all about, especially in this realm of mm-hmm. financial planning,
mm-hmm.
who can you trust with your money?
That's right.
And I talk to my friends all the time, and Si and I talk about this. We have friends that we've talked to for years. We've talked about everything under the sun. But one of the things that we never talked about is how much money do you make? You know, how much money do you have? I mean,
right.
that's like almost taboo. No one talks about that. So
that's right.
money is very personal.
That's right. That's right. That's right. In fact, this study in financial planning, the results of that study showed that LGBT community members are far likely to work for companies that are socially conscious, that have clear gender equality you know, policies, and also LGBT employee benefit programs as well. And this compares with around 20% for the general population who care about these matters, right? It's a high number. So it's good for business when you're more inclusive.
That's pretty factual, I think,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sure
is. So with everything building around you, becoming more expensive, businesses not coming here, it's important that you save and invest, especially in the LGBT community, that you do find someone. Everyone needs to have a board of advisors. I don't care who you are, what you look like, or what you don't look like. It's important to make sure that you have your cabinet, as I like to call it, of advisors who can help you to right. make the best decisions possible.
That's right.
And there are people out here who are certainly open to working with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to find someone who's going to be able to help you to talk about, where do I save? You know, 60% of the people in the poll you just mentioned don't know where to turn. So if you know that and that's your level of awareness, then you're going to have to do something different.
You do.
You need to call someone and find out, you know, who are you working with? Who are your advisors? Let me talk to them and see if I can open up and share what's really going on. And especially because from a legal perspective,
sure.
then you have even more to think about than someone else if you're, let's say you're married to a woman and a man. So because of that, the planning is just so, so important, and make sure that you do talk to somebody.
It's really true. Because as you know, Glenn, and all the clients you deal with, at the end of the day, particularly even regarding, you know, this gay marriage, when you look at the finances of it, it's not about being gay or straight. It's about being single or married. When you really come down to taxes, it comes down to financial planning. You know, these are hardcore economic matters that sort of shift away from one's moral perspectives about it. At the end of the day, everyone needs sound financial planning.
Exactly. So if you are in a state where same-sex marriage is not approved, then how do you handle your retirement?
Correct.
You know, how do you handle your beneficiaries, i.e. if you have a pension plan? You might not be able to pass that on to that other person. So you have to plan accordingly. You may have to look at a lump sum option. Therefore, you could be hurting yourself from a financial perspective, from a cash flow perspective. So it's important to make sure that you look at that early on. Don't wait until now, I'm 55, I need to start looking at this, and I'm going to retire at 57. You need to look at this sooner, because there are certainly more and more challenges, and the laws are changing, in some areas, becoming more stringent and tighter and
Absolutely.
More difficult. So because of that, it's important to make sure that you save and invest. You know, the truth of the matter is, everyone needs to save and invest. Everyone needs to look at this. If there's less money in the community, it's important to look at this and say, well, maybe the city might not grow as much in the future. Maybe I need to save personally, because I don't know what may happen. There was an article of someone in the Charlotte Observer, and he owns a pizzeria. He talked about how he was counting on the money coming in from the All-Star game to really help him out. This was going to take him to the next level financially. He may have, and I'm just forward thinking, he may have already projected that money in the budget. He hired a waitress or waiter, and to make sure that they were trained, so when the All-Star game came, they were prepared. Now it's gone. What do you think happened to that waiter or that waitress?
That's right.
They're probably gone. They're probably out of a job or
right.
working very small hours.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
just a huge impact
mm-hmm.
in so many different areas.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen to his pizzeria? Is it going to stay around? Is it
right.
going to go?
Right.
You know, those are all concerns
mm-hmm.
that people need to look
yeah.
at. And anyway.
Well, you make an interesting point, Glenn, because when I think about the recession that we came out of, close to almost a depression in 2008, I remember President Obama describing, he used an interesting analogy to describe the reality that we didn't go through a depression. He says, you know, most times you get on a plane, you don't even worry about whether the plane is going to land or not. You assume it's really going to land. You don't even thank the pilot when you land at your destination that it didn't crash.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does crash, when a plane does crash, it is devastating. So when you look at this situation, right, $100 million at least, specifically around the NBA All-Star game, and all these impacts, hidden impacts that you just mentioned, they didn't happen because, you know, you just don't know it. You don't even know half the things that could have happened, right? It's just absent. It's just like vapor. We never had it. Intangibles, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's just an unbelievable situation. But on the other side, if we had it, wow. I mean, it just makes you smile just to think about how exciting that would have been, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, I was ready. We had our, you know, we worked with some players. We had our tickets ready to go, and we're going to have a good time. So I'm a little disappointed it's not going to be here. Hopefully right. It will happen in 2019. I know we're running short on time on this one, Nick, but something happened this week that we got to talk about. You know, Donald, we talked about the Hillary's tax plan, and we talked about everybody's tax plan on the show over the last few weeks.
Yes.
One of them being Donald Trump. Well, did you know he changed his tax plan?
No, he didn't.
He did. So
you mean again?
Again.
Okay.
He changed it.
What is it now?
So, which makes me think, again, I got to just say this. It's so important for the voters to make sure they vote according to their interests. And just like this law, HB2 is here today, it could be gone tomorrow. There could be a HB3
yes.
or something. You know,
sure.
Who knows the next day? So it's important to stay on top of this stuff. But going back to Donald Trump, he ended up raising the tax rates. So he started from 0% all the way to 25%. He's raised them. So now the highest tax rate is 33%.
Really?
Yeah, because someone told him that this plan ain't going to work. There's going to be a $1 trillion deficit, addition to the deficit if you go this way. And $1 trillion less in revenue as well. So with nothing to make up the difference. So the trade deficits that we have aren't going to make up the difference on the loss of revenue.
Yeah.
So he changed it a little bit. So I thought that was quite interesting. But what I will say is he had the gumption to go ahead and change it. There were certain tax laws that I've seen over the last 20 years that were absolutely ridiculous. And then the person sticks to it because that's where they started with.
Right.
Like a sense of pride or something.
Yeah.
You know, and just that's stupid.
Well, you know, he has in the last week realigned his, you know, tax policy to be more fitting with the Republican traditional plans, traditional aspects. Because he was out there for a moment. And he's trying to sort of reel himself in. But I'm not sure if it's sustainable or not.
You know, it's like we mentioned before, I think there are issues on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting election. But, you know, it just made me think about that when looking at this HB2 on how things change so quickly, how, you know, people on this show may have a job today. They may not have one tomorrow. You know, we work with a lot of college coaches and they have great incomes, but they can get, if you don't win so many games, you're out of there. So how do you plan for that? And now, because we don't have pensions anymore,
mm-hmm.
we don't have, you know, especially down here, they don't have many unions that they can count on so they can keep their jobs. So it's so important in this economy. It's so important in our society, especially in the city of Charlotte, to save and invest your money. Even if you have debt, even if you have your disposable income looks to be zero, there are things that you can cut down your cable bill if you need to. Do you have to have, you know, 4 cell phones, you know, for the entire family? Maybe you can cut something back so you can start saving your money. So when things like this happen and threaten our financial fabric of our economy, then now you have something that you can go back to in case it affects you on a personal level.
Yeah.
That's how I look at this. When I look at everything macro, how does it come down to me and affect my bottom line? That's certainly in this instance, we're having the show to let people know that they need to be aware of this and they need to know that if nothing changes, it is going to affect you one way or the other. We need to plan accordingly.
Well, Glenn, you've said a lot there. And one thing that is absolutely certain is that we are in uncertain times. And you have to plan, right? You have to plan.
Indeed.
So, Glenn, good seeing you this week, buddy.
Likewise.
I'll see you next week.
See you.
Bye-bye. You listen to The Worth Report.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.